Hello, everybody. It is the Locked On Big 12 podcast weekly crossover. I am Josh Neighbors of Locked On Big 12. To my right, it is Linda Godfrey of Locked On Pokes. And then below her, below both of us, it is, but not in our hearts, it is John Williams of Locked On Sooners. We have a whole lot to get to tonight on the show, but first, this.
You are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Once again, I am Josh Neighbors of Locked On Big 12. That is Linda Godfrey of Locked On Pokes. And then below, she's gone. Now she's back. Also, John Williams of Locked On Sooners. So a couple pieces of news and notes we have to get to before we get to a lot of Big 12 action tonight. First one is we got word tonight, sad news, but also should be a little bit of a celebration too, of a wonderful life lived for John Madden. Passed away at the age of 85, right after his special had just come out as well. They're running it right now, I believe, actually on television on Fox Sports 1 once again. But 85 years old, you know, a spectacular life live, one hell of a coach, in addition to being a revolutionary in terms, you know, in terms of coaching, in terms of broadcasting, in terms of video games. I mean, John, this guy had, you know, his fingerprints all over modern football.
Yeah, 100%. He had the coaching acumen, the creds, and then you throw him on the video game that is arguably one of the most popular video games ever in the United States, at least. We're not going to talk international with FIFA and all that, but I mean the Madden name is synonymous with football. It is video game football. Any kid that is under the age of 50 or any adult under the age of 50 has played John Madden football at one point in time. I remember my first copy of Madden NFL EA Sports was 2002, I believe, with Eddie George on the cover. And just loved every single bit of it. And I mean, it's definitely sad to see such an icon of the sport pass away. And at the same time, you know, 85 years, that is a long life full of joy. And I think that's one of the things that he brought to the game, was just a joyous attitude and excitement for it. I think it's, you know, similar to some of the things we see about, you know, like Tony Romo. That's why a lot of people love him. Well, John Madden was that guy. He was the guy that brought all the energy, all the love for the game, and all the excitement and the joy, probably at a time when, you know, broadcasters were still very like neutral and I don't want to say monotone, but they just didn't have a whole lot of like gumption to them, like not a lot of like excitement in it. It was very the Howard Cosell style still.
Right.
And so I feel like he really changed the game and allowed broadcasters to have more personality, be more personable, and be themselves on camera. And it was such a joy to watch him on Monday Night Football, on Fox. You know, that was really where I got a lot of my John Madden exposure, was when he was calling Dallas Cowboys games for Fox with Al Michaels in the early 2000s. And yeah, there's nobody that's ever going to be better than him. I'm going to say that because he completely revolutionized what it looks like to televise an NFL football game.
Yeah, you know, that's been a sentiment I've seen a lot from a lot of people. Bomani Jones made a really good point where he was like, look, a lot of people recognize, like, a lot of people complain nowadays about color commentary because the color commentators now aren't John Madden. And the number of clips that have been floating around the internet, I mean, there's the one where he's talking about the buckets of water, and he said there's a mother bucket, there's a daddy, you know, daddy bucket, and now they have a child bucket. And he's like, all these buckets are going to be dumped on certain people, drawing lines. And, you know, there's times he drew a circle around somebody's head that had steam, I forget which Cowboys player it was, steam coming off their head, and he's like, you could grill some meat on there in the middle of a playoff game. And it's like, who thinks they're doing this stuff? That's John Madden does. Yep. John Madden thinks he's doing this stuff. And that's why it's like, it's really sad he's passed. But this is the legacy that he's left, is people smiling and laughing and enjoying football. And also, I mean, you know, I can't speak to this. I didn't watch a whole lot of his teams play, but like, go look at his coaching record.
Yeah.
If you want to check his bona fides, he's a world champion coach and he won a lot of football games too. So not just the fun stuff, Linda, we're talking about John Madden's legacy, but also, you know, too, I mean, you're a big fantasy player. There's a certain element of like the video game stuff kind of leading into fantasy, right? There's video games kind of help do that. You know, how many yards could this guy put up in a season? How many yards could he receive in one season? All kinds of stuff like that. It's part of an impetus for this. Madden video games, you know, with the Ultimate Team and whatnot, it's important for that.
Before fantasy football was the male-dominated field that I wanted to take down, I worked at GameStop. It was my very first job. So I did, I spent a lot of time with Madden, the video game from like every year, you know, like you have 25 cents for it. And I'm really sorry, but that's where we're at in negotiations. So it's like 03. So, but I spent a lot of time with the Madden football game. So he's for sure imprinted some very important stories on my life just through that. So.
Yeah. And I think with the Madden game, it's like we all know Madden was not sitting there like developing the game, writing code. We're all familiar with this. But like the video game is named after him to give you any idea of how influential he is. And I grew up, you know, the sounds of him calling the games and whatnot. So, you know, wonderful, wonderful human being by all accounts. I'm glad he got to see his special. Hopefully got to see his special pop on television. I hope you got to see that. And it was awesome that he was able to be a part of that. So, you know, obviously his family, keep them in your thoughts right now, but an excellent life lived, and one that he gave so much to so many people that he had never actually even met.
We didn't even touch on the turducken.
Yeah, the turducken, which is like all-time greats. I mean, here's the thing. He also spawned one of the greatest comedy runs ever from
yes.
Frank Caliendo,
yep.
who like absolutely capitalized off John's, you know, his comedy and a lot of his unintentional comedy. And the thing is, John had a lot of actual comedy, unintentional comedy, and knowledge of football, which is like this amazing trifecta that I think people really like. And that's why it's like there really hasn't been anybody since him that brings those things. I mean, people love Tony Romo, but like I don't find his unintentional comedy endearing like some people do, I guess. Like I find his like with John Madden, everything always kind of felt under control. With Tony Romo, it's like, oh, Jim! It's like, Tony, we gotta dial it back a little bit here. John's always like, I'm gonna draw on the screen what's funny, and you're like, this is great. I'm enjoying the hell out of this. Tony Romo, I don't like it as much.
Yeah, I mean, he's like everybody's uncle or yes. grandpa. You know, I think that's what everybody like grew to appreciate about John Madden is just a guy that was just who he was, and. Someone who just loves the game and you enjoyed watching him watch football. Like,
yes.
how great would it be to have like Manning cast, but with Madden on it, where he's right. just like sitting there on a couch, you know, with his, whatever he drinks, just sitting there watching football and talking about it.
Clicker in hand.
Yes, man. That would have been so right. great. Maybe in the next life.
Yeah. Maybe in the next life. Once we all join him, hope we all join him upstairs, depending on our good deeds and acts, or if you believe in that kind of thing. All right. Shout out to our sponsors real quickly. Our friends at Built Bar, go to built.com today. It's built.com. Check out their line of Built Bars. Now is a great time because guess what's coming, folks? The new year. So it's resolution season, and part of your new year resolutions for getting healthier can, or if you just want a delicious treat, Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that is the best one out there right now. It's good. It's good for you. It can replace candy bars, you know, if you're trying to move forward in 2022 without that kind of thing. It tastes like candy bar, but it's a lot better for you. You can find their collection right now at built.com. Go to built.com, promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, LOCKED15 for 15% off today at built.com. All right, so I'm going to break this thing up a little bit here because there's going to be a little something for everybody here in the Big 12 world with this podcast. So let's start with the game we just had tonight. Texas Tech took Mike Leach's ass behind the woodshed and beat him to death. Beat it to death. Mike Leach talked a whole gang of shit this week about how he's owed money and the university's a whole bunch of stuff. And look, I don't know the truth of that. It was over a decade ago, and I think some people would just like for Mike Leach to let it go. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm not sure if Texas Tech heard any of that, but I do know one thing. Sonny Cumbie is very familiar with Mike Leach's offense. And we all saw Texas Tech this year. John, you saw them. Not great when it comes to stopping passing offenses. Tonight, quite the performance. 34-7. Texas Tech has 9.5 or 10-point dog, depending on where you saw it. They take Texas, they take Mississippi State behind the woodshed and get win number 7 on the season, despite the helter-skelter nature of their season. So pretty impressive stuff, John. Go to you first. Texas Tech starting Big 12 season off right with a win.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible, actually, and I think it's going to do a lot for the conference. I mean, you know, we hear a lot of times the SEC teams talking about, well, it was a bowl game, it didn't matter. But you know what? This stuff does matter in a sense that recruits see this. Like, they see, oh, this is the SEC just taking a stomping at the hands of one of the middling teams of the Big 12. Like, I mean, I can't remember where I had Texas Tech in my final power rankings, but they were like probably 6 or 7. It was pretty far right down there. I mean, it was a miracle that they got bowl eligible. I had to go on a little bit of a run toward the end of the season. What they're doing to Mississippi State is pretty incredible. Like, this isn't just like they're winning a game. They're stomping on one of the better, you know, five, you know, six, seven best teams, or the 6th or 7th best team in the SEC. Mm-hmm. It's pretty impressive. And I think it's just a good sign for that team as they head into the offseason with a whole lot of renewed energy with Joey McGuire coming in and a new staff. I think that's really big for Texas Tech to be able to build off that moving into 2022.
Yeah, and, you know, when this also kind of gives you appreciation for what Oklahoma State and Oklahoma did to Texas Tech this year a little bit, right? I mean, both those teams beat them pretty badly, Oklahoma with the offense, Texas Tech with the defense. And look, I think this is a really positive sign for Texas Tech and Joey McGuire. Like, I know Mississippi State was missing some guys, but this is Donovan Smith, who is the second or third quarterback, depending on how you look at their depth chart. This is Sonny Cumbie, who is an interim head coach, who has already taken a job. He's off to Louisiana Tech to be their head coach. Now that this game is over, he's just going final 34-7, final score there. No Eric Azukama, who is going to the NFL draft, and we hope he does really well to represent the conference, but this should have been the other way around. Right? It's kind of what this feels like.
Yeah, I literally said on yesterday's show that if Mike Leach got the chance, he'd run the score up, and then it ended up being the exact opposite situation, which I love to watch. I'm not a big Mike Leach fan. I'm pretty over it as a whole. I like to watch that. Now, I took a nap in the first half because I was exhausted, but I did wake up in time to see the sideline tackle that ended in kind of some pushing and shoving, which I know you're not supposed to cheer for, but I like that passion in watching this play. Oh yeah. I get like it. I'm like, but maybe a little pushing and shoving.
Well, so, Linda, let's not forget their bowl game last year ended up in a brawl with Tulsa.
Yeah. Well, that's not great. You don't want to do it too many times, you know,
right?
But it was, I like to see that passion. They clearly wanted to hand it to Mike Leach, and they did. They won on every side of the ball, special teams, offense, and defense. So it was great to watch.
Yeah, John, you know, it's really interesting. This Mike Leach thing is like, it wears really thin, really fast. Because, like, and I know he gave Texas Tech so many successful seasons. I mean, his bowl streak there was pretty incredible. But besides that, it's worn thin in some of the places that he's been just because of the personality. Also, here's a problem. They don't adapt at all. They do not adapt. They do what they do all the time. And that's why Jimmy Lake, who is the former Washington coach, said our easiest game every year, and this was him as a DC, is playing Wazoo. And this is while Mike Leach was there. Do you know why? Because they don't change anything. Like, you don't have to up the game plan or anything. And I think his unwillingness to adapt in both his comments about things off the field and some of his stuff on the field, that's ultimately what shows he's got a very clear ceiling as a coach.
Yeah, the quirkiness is great, but it definitely wears thin if you're not winning, especially if you're getting stomped on a national stage in a bowl game like this to end your season. It's not going to, you know, bode well for those that are Mississippi State fans and donors to see their team just go out and get embarrassed by Texas Tech like this. And so, I mean, Patrick Kahn, who's a friend of the Big 12 shows and former Longhorns host here on Locked On Network, he just texted me. He's like, ha, 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 suck it, Leach. So if that gives you any indication of what Texas Tech fans feel about Mike Leach at this point in his history, despite all the great things he did for Texas Tech, I mean, it goes to show just how quickly his act grades on people, or grates on people, I should say.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Linda, because like he said this stuff yesterday about, you know, we should all be able to move on and celebrate the good times that we had together there. And it feels like he was kind of reopening salt in the wound for those people in West Texas who are like, they have a positive view of him. They are thankful for what he did. Now, when he brings the stuff back up and won't let everybody move on, that's kind of when that's where it's like, Mike, just stop. Like, dude, we respect you.
It's the same thing that Aaron Rodgers is doing every time he goes on Pat McAfee's show the last several weeks. Like, we're not talking about him anymore. And he's like, people can't quit talking about it. We've moved on, buddy. Like, we're trying to move past it. Quit bringing it up. The way he handled a kicker missed a field goal over the season, and he, like, in the press conference afterwards was like, you know, we're holding open tryouts. I'm sorry, but these are chilled. Like, if I heard a coach speak about my kid that way, with like just disrespect like that, I know you're supposed to respect your elders or whatever, but like, you don't respect me, I'm not going to respect you back, regardless of how much older you are than me. And I think he handled that poorly. I think he handles a lot of things poorly and tries to play it off as like, I'm so funny though. And I'm like, right. It's not funny anymore.
It's like a reverse Mike Gundy, like the I'm a man, I'm 40 thing, right? Was in defense of the player, which he was too far in that. But Mike Gundy, Mike Leach has a lot of – this is not the only instance where he has gone after his players, right? We have the fat girlfriend's comment. Remember the fat girlfriend comment a while ago? He said his players are too worried about their fat girlfriends. Earlier this year he wished social media would be gone or whatever, and it's like, dude – he just, man, foot and mouth all the time. And never, this guy is, you know, you rarely hear him back his players. I mean, the worst story about him is allegedly locking, you know, Craig James' son in a hot shed at Texas Tech. And it's like, when is this guy really, when we really felt like it? Mike Leach at bat for his players. Never. We never really had that conversation. Anybody else want to have any final words on Mike Leach before we move on?
No, it's probably time for him to go back to a coordinator role and just live out the rest of his coaching days in the not in the limelight, you know, backstage for some.
I think school like Texas Tech or Wazoo is perfect for him, but the problem is, it just like you said, you just said, just he grates on you and grates on you and grates on you and grates on you, and so eventually, like, they'll keep going 7-5, 6-6, but we saw it this year. Ole Miss handled them. I mean, Ole Miss handled them pretty easily, and if you see teams like that every single year, they're gonna adjust and start beating.
Yeah, that was what his life was like in the Big 12. I mean, he had a couple really good years when he had really, really good talent. But when the talent was not elite, like a Michael Crabtree, then, or Patrick Mahomes, even when in, or sorry, Patrick Mahomes, that's so dumb.
Right.
But I mean, he Graham had, Harrell. Yeah, Graham Harrell, when he had elite talent, he could kind of get himself up into the top four. But again, like you said, his ceiling was capped. Anyway.
All right, one more word from our sponsors before we move on to some other bowl games. Today's show is brought to you by betonline.ag. Go to betonline.ag today. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. Locked On. You'll receive a 50% deposit bonus. So if you deposit $100, they will give you an extra 50%. So if you deposit $100, they'll give you an extra 50 to play with today. F1 is going now, but if you want to bet some futures, F1, futures on baseball, college football, college basketball, NFL, NBA, NHL, whenever it returns, UFC, boxing, all that stuff, you can bet on at betonline.ag today. Once again, promo code Locked On, LOCKEDON, Locked On. All right, this is part one of the show, concluding right here. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at LOBig12. You can follow me at Josh_Neighbors. Part two of the show is previewing the Alamo Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl as well. So that part will be out on Wednesday morning. All right. Till next time, my friends, as always, stay safe.